Hello and welcome to the first episode of the English Road to WTC. This is a podcast we're going to be putting out and it's going to be talking about the England team's approach prep, gearing up for obviously crushing the world and all the other countries' dreams and bringing home the trophy this year. So what we're going to be doing is talking through how the teams are getting on, some insights into the meta, and to kick us off on this monumental journey is none other than Jakey W. How are you getting on, Jake?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How about yourself, Rich?
Yeah, very good, very good. Very excited about this. So obviously, we've recently announced teams and you guys got your first practice weekend coming up later on in the week. So, yeah, really good to have you on and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. So let's get kicked off. For some people listening to this, might not know a huge amount about the WTC. It rolls around every year. It's a huge event, arguably one of the biggest on the War Machine calendar. And yet it's something that, you know, when you join the community, you don't really know about, or certainly I didn't. So you obviously been last year. Was that your second year last year or first year?
First year last year.
Blasting onto the scene, first. As with everything, Jake. So, yeah. Why don't you give us a bit of a rundown on what the WTC is, your experience of it year one, what you're most looking forward to year two?
So my perspective of it is it's serious toy soldiers. the WTC... It's one of the events you go to. Yes, you're there to have fun and have a really good experience, but it is the height of the competitive. It's as competitive as War Machine can get. You've got the best players from all over the world, all the big names that you see smashing all the US, UK, European events. They're all there, and it's just a collage of the best players in the world, basically, all in normally a hotel in the middle of nowhere in a European country. All playing toy soldiers to battle it out for the trophy to be crowned best in the world.
Best in the world.
So I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. For me, it's the one event of the calendar which I don't think can be missed. Even if I didn't get into a team, I'd be going to the solos. The atmosphere is huge. There's, well, what was it last year? 400 nerds on a hotel in a hotel in Belgium.
I think so. We had 64 teams, and then there was a 32-player Steamroller plus Entourage. So, yeah, really, really big. Really big event.
Yeah, it's huge. The atmosphere is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me last year, like walking in through the doors. And there's some people you meet at conventions, like if you're traveling at all. But you get there, and everyone's got the team tops on, and you walk through the door, and it just feels like you're home. It's just like the War Machine family.
It is. And to people that you've maybe played at a convention, like say the European players that you remember playing once 2 years ago, you'll see them, you're like, oh, and you'll immediately recognise them. And you build up really good friendship links. Like this year, there's so many people that I met that I still keep in contact with, even just a dojo and just a chat shit really about toy soldiers.
And that's what the other thing is this is usually in a hotel and it's usually got other people around. Yeah. And I think you can definitely see people adjusting, like day one at breakfast, you know, they thought they were going for a nice quiet family holiday and there is the nerd army there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, lunchtime, it's like feeding time at the zoo.
Yeah. So it's good. So I think by the end of it though, you know, you've got all the dads are there, you know, trying to cop a sneaky peek of, well, what's going on? Oh, what does that model do? That's really interesting. And it's obviously all streamed as well. Like last year, they had some great coverage. The Muse guys.
Brilliant coverage.
Yeah. So that's really good. So you get to see some of the best games going on. It's also great just for, I guess, taking a snapshot of what top level War Machine looks like. Yeah. And I thought we could talk about that today. So we're at the start of the run-up to WTC. I think most people have teams, most countries have teams that they've decided on. And so we're starting the very exciting process of putting pairings together. And part of that is looking at what we think the men is going to be doing, what's going on. Last year, Cricks were the faction to beat. I think they had a 76% win rate.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
And they weren't. And it was the height of Fleet and the height of the Dark Coast as well. It was tough.
Denny 2 and Coven for absolute days.
Yeah, it was tricky. So they've been toned down, arguably not enough, depending on who you listen to. So yeah, thought it'd be a good shout. Let's have a look. You've probably had some of the first sessions with your team looking at factions, what you're playing, what you're taking, why. So I thought it'd be useful just to talk through, put some early markers down. What are we expecting this year's WTC from where we stand now? What we think of the big dogs, and are there any sleeper hits in there as well? Because you've also got things like the Crucible Guard and CID at the minute. We've got Legions coming out of CID. We've got Tharn potentially going in, and Circle already had stuff. So there's a fair bit of change ahead of the CID. And obviously that's something, that change is something you know only too well after last year.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, talk us through it. Let's start with there to show the impact of CID, and then we can go on to what we think happens with this year.
So as I say, last year I was playing Hayley Toon, Cara Sloan, and then a month before, I think it was a week before list submission was in for the WTC, Hayley Toon got her nerf. So I know all too well about the impactful of CID on the WTC. So my plans this year, so I'm captain of Team Knights. I've got, including myself, two other previous WTC players, then two newbies. So I want, for my vision for it was to have a mixture. So my job as Knights captain was to say bring some of the up and coming stars into it. So I've got a couple of great guys who have started to do really well, and I think going through the process would really help them. And then say two other people who are my reliable, maybe that's not the right word, people who know the experience before, who know what it's like to be in that environment. So I think I've got a really strong team, and they all know that I'm gunning for a podium and hopefully take home the victory. So it's going to be difficult, it's going to require a lot of work, but it's my goal is to go there. I'm taking it seriously. I'm going there to win.
Yeah, and I think your tournament results over the last couple of years are kind of testament to, you know, the how this game works. You know, if you want to do well at this game, opportunities there, you know, knuckle down, get the games in, really enjoy it, really embrace it. And I think, you know, as I said, last year was your first year before was probably your first year playing tournament. So in the space of 2 years, you've gone from relatively new on the scene to captain WTC. And that's just from loving the game, getting involved, you know, games in every week, seeking out the players, et cetera, yeah?
Yeah, it's come from playing in a really strong area. So I say I play out of York, and I do travel to all the other little Yorkshire metas as well. But in York, just before, there is, not including myself, already three WTC players that have been there, that have been multiple years, three previous captains as well. So the level of games you get is huge. Every time you go, even just round to the club, you get a tournament level game. That's, I think, the key to the success is play as much as you physically can and play the best players you physically can. And you'll just innately get good.
Yeah. Or you'll quit the game in two. It's one of the two.
Or you'll quit the game. Yeah, go to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Wimps do. My thoughts on sort of team composition for, say, wise factions concerned. We've all, so there's three of us who are pretty cemented into our factions. Of those three, there will be no perceived CID changes up until WTC, which I think is huge. So what is out now, we can play. Nothing that's going to change that. Only nerfs or buffs to other factions will change it, which I think is as controllable as we can get. As for, there's two other players. One is one has two factions, both excellent with both, and I think it's just a case of player preference of which one they want to take, because both of them do offer strengths and weaknesses to what they're going to bring. So that's just down to player preference. And then the last one is looking at me at going either. So the player I'm talking about, he can sort of play anything, can adapt really, really easily. Can just, if he wanted to just go all in on one faction, he could do. So if I wanted him to go, do you know what? I want a Crix player on my team. Tell you what, you pick up, play Denny 2, play Scar 1, and he'll give me 300 games for WTC.
Wow. Oh, fair enough. I'm running through your team, ladies and gentlemen. You've got, there's obviously Jim, who was there last year, James Sykes, who's a very talented player. And has played a lot of games with lots of different factions.
And just consistent.
Yeah, he's a bit of a rock, isn't he? I watched some of his games on the stream. It's just pretty unshakable, no, you know, just cracks on with it.
I do see a lot of... He's very similar, I think, to another player, Andy Garrard. You'll put him into, I think you'll put him into a matchup and go, this is a solid 50-50. That's one of the things we did last year was with Andy. We put him in the matchup and gone, this is a 50-50. And you know what? I think Andy's got it. Keeping cool, keeping calm, and just playing just good, consistent war machine, which I think is what you want. I think you want that.
Yeah.
Other players he's got, we've got Alex Austin playing.
Oh, she was so good last year. She smashed everyone with Mercs. Yeah.
Yeah, so first thing, the Merc question. People kind of forget about Mercs a little bit. And they forget how silly sometimes Ostrom can be. If you've not had practice against him, you're going to have a really bad time.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've not thought of getting shot by gun bunnies, it's going to suck. Like I played last year at the WTC, and it sucked really bad. It's a one, but it wasn't fun.
Now, the interesting thing...
Alex Austin said...
Sorry, just on Mercs, interesting I thought was because they've got a lot more options. So last year, I think it's fair to say they had Ostrom and Thexus. And then you also had the start of Damiano Kingmakers.
Yes.
They've now got those three still. They've also got the irregular themes, which are really big. They've got the Leolese resistance themes with like, what's his name, Sheety Boy, Kane 3, and also Cross 2 as well.
Yeah.
So you've got those. Yep. You've got... I know you can obviously do janky stuff with Choir, with Stormlancers, all sorts of stuff. And now you've also got the budget Ashlyn Haley 3 list in Mercs, which is trenches and Leolese theme. So they become Leolese, and then you've got groups to give everything repo. So I find that really interesting, WTC, and so that's something to have if you finish looking at the rest of your team and talk to us generally. But people might have an answer to the H3 Cloud Wall. It's very unlikely they'll have two. So even playing a budget Haley 3 in Mercs is actually could be really strong when you've got a Haley 3 player on your team as well. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I think Ashlyn, she's looking really strong. Because, well, with the feet, you sort of get, with Ashlyn's feet, you sort of get a Haley turn as well. Because obviously, Temporal Flux exists. Mm. Well, the feet. Kind of, it's not the same, obviously it isn't, but it's a similar game effect, I think. You're skewing dice, which is what Haley does brilliantly. You ask with her feet, I think you're skewing the dice as well. So it can play both. You can play the hit and run, dance around each other and shoot. You can play that game. So I think Mercs are super strong. We can build for whatever we want. If we wanted to just go, do you know what, let's play Magnus 2, let's have 7 Harrys on the board. Let's play that game.
Oh, yeah. We can play Gun Weapons.
I've not forgot about that. You could even go, if you wanted to go into some janky stuff, like running Shane 40 pirates at people. 40 advanced deploying pirates that threat your deployment zone. Go on, then.
Give it a go.
So you can play. I think Mercs are so flexible in that sense that they sort of have what I used to think of Rhett about a year ago. It's very difficult. I mean, well, not currently, but about a year ago, it was very difficult to answer Rhett. Because you go, my pair can play 4 Rhett casters, but all 6 Rhett casters are viable.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can play all of Rhett, but Rahn. Well, Rahn's ridiculous. So I think Mercs do something very similar. You can go, right, I've text for all the infantry lists, but then someone rocks up and go, I've got Magnus with 7 heavies, and I've got Ostrom in Hammer Strike with 2 battle engines. Go on then.
Yeah. Power 21. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's tough.
Yeah. So Mercs are absolutely brilliant. So I think Alex is she's a strong player. I think we can abuse the player and the faction with that that pairing.
Nice.
Got myself as well. So I'm all in on Signar. I've always been all in on Signar. I'm playing Haley 3 and something else I've not decided yet. But Haley 3.
Yeah.
So we know what she does. We don't need to go over that. So if you want to go over that, listen to Tactical Tips.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We support each other in the UK community.
Pardon?
We support each other in the UK community.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So yeah, listen to that. If you want Haley 3 tech, listen to that. But we know she's good. We know what it does. So then who else we've got? We've got a newbie, Ben Hampshire. He plays out of the Oxford Midland, like South Midlands, Oxford area. And he's one of the players that I've noticed that, not randomly, but you'll be at a big convention and they'll be like, oh, he's 4-0. There's a few big names that are 4-0, but then there's like Ben Hampshire's always there. Or it's like finishing the event, he's gone like 4-1 or something. You're like, oh, all right, I forgot about you. Is it, I think he's one of those players, he's just good and he's up and coming. And the two factions he plays, Grimkin and Convergence, I think brilliant factions in a team environment. Mm. So Grimkin are still good.
Yep.
They're still one of the top factions. They're still a brilliant thing to play. They've just got a couple of boogeymen that I think people have sort of sussed out how to play against them. And if you avoid them in a team format, I think you're absolutely laughing.
Yeah, makes sense.
Then again, Convergence, not a very popular faction. But if you look at America, they do great over in America. I think was it either Nova Open or Las Vegas Open? There was three out of four Convergence players in the final.
Yeah.
Was that Las Vegas?
I think it was, because it was Scar 1 versus... So Brandon Adams versus Jeremy... What?
Jeremy Lee.
No, sorry, I've got this wrong. I can't remember. But pretty sure it's a Scar 1 Axis. Denny 1 Axis, because it was pre-nerf, wasn't it? But yeah, they also had 3 and 4's Convergence as well. So, keep in mind, and that was just post-theme drops, and I think that was a big thing for Convergence, of getting back after it got taken away in Mark 2, but getting back their recursion list, which disappeared. But now the Clockwork Angels is back, and it is terrifying.
Yes, it is. I still believe is it Destruction Initiative?
Yeah.
That is the more scary, but I say having two themes now really just help them. And say there might be some hidden tech in there that just needs sussing out. But still things like Axis Double Tech or Axis 21 Galvanizers, there's still them sort of lists. That is silly. But yeah, so I think with Ben, we can sort of play whichever one we want, and he can be flexible as well, which is really good.
Yep.
Last one, we've got Mark, plays out of Sheffield and plays the most War Machine, I think, in the world. If there's a one-day steamroller in the Outer Hebrides, he'll be there.
Indeed, yeah. He's making sure we keep ahead of our Brexit quota of games played to keep the EU happy single-handedly. He's a monster.
Yeah, he's got it covered. He's the guy I was chatting about who can pick up a new faction. And if I ask him, he will put the games in no matter what. It's that sort of, he's very adaptable. So if I wanted him to say, do you know what, screw it, I want a Crix player on our team, let's be them guys, let's take Signar, Crix, Grimkin, let's take the power hitters and let's try and ride that and ride the counters, he'd do it for me. Whereas if I say, do you know what, Crucible Guard are looking really good at the moment, could you get them played? Yeah, great. Or very flexible. It's a good tool to have on your team.
Yeah, I think it's interesting though, because I think there's some European teams who they try and change their team and their players. The factions, and they ride the power lists. And they basically, you'll see people jump from like Denny One Host last year to Tubby Mac 2, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They'll kind of chase the power list. I think the players in the UK who seem to change are more about changing to a faction with answers. So it's more than just, I'm going to take two lists, but I'll just get my head around this faction and I'll dig up whatever gold is in them hills, I'll get hold of.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, ideally in War Machine, you want to master your faction. I really feel like in Mark III even more so, because flexibility, understanding the game, the meta's changing a lot more dynamic. If you can understand your faction and dig out those things that people don't see, then I think you do quite well. Whereas
I agree 100%. Yeah.
And I think the only way to do that is games, and that's where Mark is, I think, got an edge on everyone. He plays a minimum of, what, 4 to 6 games a week?
Oh, that's a slow week. So he's from Sheffield. He's currently at our York club playing two games. We'll be playing at the Outpost tomorrow. Wednesday, it'll be over in Leeds. So there's 6 games without really even trying. Might be over in Stafford. Then there's a 2-day event this weekend. So I reckon this week, without even trying, 15 games.
Oof. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a bit of perspective.
I think...
Yeah. Sorry, crack on you.
Go on, sorry. And I think that having that on a team, just that level of devotion and flexibility, I think it's brilliant. And it's one of the reasons I've... Picking my team, having that on your team, I think, is a really good tool. Having someone who can can do, say, what the Germans did last year. Like, they, it was Sasha only was only playing Quicks for 6 months or something like that, because he was playing Scorn before. I think it was Sasha.
Yes, yeah.
But so someone who can, yeah, who someone who can just switch it up, but then get the games in as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's brilliant to have. But yeah, that's sort of my thoughts on the team composition and my initial thoughts on how it's going to go.
Something you mentioned when you're going through your team was the mix of quote unquote, you know, experience and youth, that type of mix of people who've been there and done it and performed under pressure, and some of the people who are new to WTC, specifically the 50-50s, just for people who haven't been, how much pressure is there at WTC? When you're given that 50-50 matchup, how last year, how do you feel about it? What's it actually like playing those games, you know, the 50-50 games, the games that are sure things, quote unquote, you know, this is your matchup, this is one of the ones we've got to win this round, and likewise playing out the bad matchups, all the pressure at WTC, just, well, how would you describe that to someone who hasn't been before?
The pressure is, it's real. You can feel it. The first game of the weekend is huge. Like, you can just tell just the atmosphere in the room. Everyone's like almost holding their breath, just being like, everything's perfect. A lot of judge calls, just making sure everything is done to the best of your ability. And you feel a lot of pressure on yourself as well, because so you don't want to let your teammates down, and you're playing on the world stage. So everyone, the mum's going to know about your game. Even if it's not on the stream, everyone's going to know about it because social media exists.
Yeah.
Like last year, during my first game, my pocket was exploding with just local group chats going, oh, Jake's got this, or oh, Paul's got this, Brett's got this. And it been knowledge so widely available, everyone knows what everyone's doing. So people can see the upsets, they can see the... who's doing well, who's not. So it's, the pressure is huge.
Yeah.
And you've just got to keep a really calm and cool head. Because if you don't, you'll crumble.
Yeah.
And it's not a place where you can crumble, because you're not just only letting yourself down, you're letting everyone else down.
So is that a factor when you're picking your team? Like, knowing that that's what you're going across to Poland this year to play into? Was that, you mentioned Andy Garrett and sort of 50-50. Was this something that was kind of top of your list of things you want in your team?
I wouldn't have said top, but it was definitely there every time I considered a player. I definitely didn't want to go with an all-fresh team. That was a definite. I wanted at least one veteran. It just so happened I got two. It's just sort of where the selection process fell. It just so happened I got two veteran players.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. So you've got your team. We're heading off to Poland this year. It's going to be awesome. So it'll be worth to look at what are we expecting if the WTC was tomorrow, and rolling forward 9 months, what do we expect in Poland when we get over there? I think, yeah, last year was definitely, it was pre-theme. It was post-2017 SR, but still people still adjusting to it. And it was definitely a year of Cricks. And to a lesser extent, Grimkin, which was, they weren't quite as prevalent, but when they were at a table, they took names. We just hadn't figured them out.
Yeah.
Crick, 74% win rate. It was huge. And it felt last year was basically the year of, you know, everyone's offering to try and play the Cricks game. And then it came down to a lot of terms of, can you beat Cricks or not? Yes or no. So that was last year. I don't think Cricks are quite in that position this year. What are you expecting? Yeah, what's on your minds already for WTC this year? What are you planning for?
So I think Cricks are still up there. Maybe not as big as they were, but I think you still need multiple Cricks answers. They'll be everywhere. I reckon Cricks are still going to be absolutely everywhere. Every team, to an extent, is going to have a Cricks player, and I think you're going to need a minimum of two Cricks answers. Last year, I think you had to have three. That's where some teams slipped up. Some teams are going, we have two, then a couple of dicey ones. I think last year there should have been, every team should have had three Cricks drops. This year, I don't think there was prevalent. I think everyone needs at least two people that can go into Cricks and go, I'm going to smash this. This is my Cricks answer. But I think now Cricks are less streamlined. Now to answer Cricks, I think it's a little bit easier. You don't need RFP, but you still need to answer high armor, jack spam in the shape of Gatsby 3 or Venomax. But you also still need to be able to play Coven Banes. You still need to think of the new Broken Coast list as well, with all the pirates, all the alive pirates, and of course Raider Theme Force as well. So I think you still need to, I think it's just a little bit easier to tech from.
Yeah.
Because you don't need the RFP. You just need a few different tools, but I think they're easier to come by.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because RFPs, obviously, so it's a difficult tool to put in en masse in a matchup that then also needs to deal with stealthed coven banes, which you can't shoot for, you know, for us. And that, I think that's something that made it very difficult last year, was Fleet, Denny One Fleet was so strong and such a good assassin. And then Host was just such a good attritionist, and such a ball breaker. So yeah, it felt
brilliant.
Very
absolutely
hard.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
No, I agree 100%. So this year, I still think we need quicks. You need to have quicks answers.
If you need a quicks answer, cool.
You need a Haley 3 answer. And if your list answers Haley 3, can it answer Nemo? if nothing changes to Haley, to Nemo, which is very surprising, I think something will happen. I don't know what, but I think something will happen to the electricity rules, or maybe the leaping rules.
Mm.
I think you need answers to at least Haley 3. The Nemo thing, maybe not as much, but you need a Haley 3 answer. And I think every single team will have a Signar player, and they will have Haley 3. I think if they don't, I don't want to say they're doing it wrong, but it's very brave, and hopefully the team knows what they're doing, or the reasoning why they're doing that.
Yeah. So you have to have a very, very good reason not to be taking a Signar Haley 3 player.
Yeah. Maybe that, and a good reason would be there's none in your country. That being the reason. Honestly, to me, that is the reason. There's no one at that level that can play her. That is the reason. As for other answers, again, not as much as last year's quicks, but I think you need a scorn answer.
Ooh.
I think you need to. I rate Scorn highly, because I think they play. I'm not jank, but they can play spam. But the different flavors of spam are all really good. So for first thing, like there's Makeda 2 Cats. So if you don't have Grievous Wounds or Entropic Force or anything that stops the Stay Death bollocks, it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Then there's obviously Tubby Double Turtle.
Yep.
That list, we know it's brilliant. It's a really good list. But then there's a few of the side lists. So there's Xerxes 2. Was it 10 Archidons? Is that the list?
Yeah, you've got like X2 and Z2 with the beasts. I think last year it was just all the Archidons. And diversifying a bit this year, partly because Chains of Electricity and Nemo 3, but still very strong.
Yeah. And as well, say, my perspective might be skewed slightly, but we have a Scorn player locally, and he's been playing Xerxes 2 Drake Farm. Yeah. And that list is scary as hell.
Is that the one with turtles in it as well, or has he just gone for
double turtle, 7 drakes, 2 Kreas and an Agonizer?
Yep.
That looks about right, yeah. Because the Kreas get in the flank, so you soften up with sprays, then you've got Bushwhack as well, so you can get sort of, if you get jammed up, you can get out of it, so there's a few tools. You've got the feet, and so the sprays do so much work, require less boosting. Obviously, the turtles on the feet as well can just do whatever they want. And they're full of hard hitters. With feet and ignite, a derp turtle killed a Primaxium. I mean, what's that? That's trading up more than double points.
Yeah, that's pretty good, that. So that's what, impact attack, charge attack, 3 bolt attacks, 2 spear attacks, and then, you know, 2 to 4 shots.
All with ignite, all with signs of bonds.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's going to make a mess. And so like Pat said on your other cast, they are probably, for the points, one of the best units in the game.
No, they're fine and balanced, Jake. They're absolutely fine.
Well, fair and balanced, are they?
Yep.
Fair and balanced. you can keep them if they don't touch Haley 2. Haley 3, sorry.
Yeah.
If they don't touch Haley 3, you can keep them, mate.
Well, they had the chance, didn't they? The 2018 CID. I think everyone was praying for the nerf to the Gremlin Swarms and Haley 3, and it didn't come. It didn't come. It wasn't.
I don't think they can do much with Incorporeal, because it will nerf Grimkin far too much.
The Swarm, yeah. I mean, they play as a brick, so if they have Incorporeal models, can't can't score, or the Raiders can't contest, and it makes Grimkin go from very hard to play against to actually you just pen the brick in.
I think Grimkin go with that change, I think they could even go from top four to somewhere low down, because then they're just playing a spooky brick.
Spooky brick.
And if you know, yeah. It's sort of like a troll bricky brick. They're playing a spooky brick.
Yeah.
So I think I don't think they'll change in corporeal. There'll be a change. I don't know what. I hate to think. I don't worry about these things. That's future, Matt. That's my future problem.
Yeah, that's Jake's future.
I'll work it out later. Yeah. I'll work it out later. But yeah, so that's what my thoughts on that.
So we've got Scorn, we've got Crix. I might as well talk about Grimkin, just mention them. Are they still up there, do you think?
I'd say yes. But I think now everyone's had the reps against them, so they're less scary than they were last year. Because everyone's got the reps in now. They know about the Arcanas. They know about the Gotchas. People are innately taking things to deal with Gremlin Swarms. So I think you still need to think about them and still consider them a lot, but I don't think you need to tech for them because you're sort of already doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the practice you've got, because of what you've had to take this year to deal with them at just normal events, I think you're just innately planning for them anyway.
That makes sense. So they don't have that same dark horse factor of people just not really knowing what's going on that they did last year.
They're not a dark horse. They're still very powerful, but they're not a dark horse anymore. So they're just now a really good faction.
Cool. Makes sense.
I'd say, but because of how close I think all the factions are, in that environment with all the really good players, so you've got the really good players playing the best lists from all the factions, you have to think of everything. Even things like, so nobody plays minions. Very few players play minions. But if you play against Rast lately, it sucks. It really does.
Yeah, he's still a ball breaker. And I think the challenge with minions has always been that it's not Rask, it's the off list. Like, what do you pair with him in the two lists? But this is where WTC, you can build a strategy around taking these types of players, taking Rask as a faction, because you don't need to worry as much about, you know, that off list that's very weak. Because probably WTC, whoever's playing, is going to play Rask six games.
Yeah. I say Mark's been playing a lot of Rask lately, and so what he's found is extremely good, but it is quite his downside is actually first turn, weirdly. Like if Rask goes first, the matchup is so much more in his favour. It's a big noticeable match. Like now, if you go first, second, it is better to go first, but it's not as noticeable. And I think with Rask, it is so much more noticeable because you can feed top of two instead of bottom of one. If the opponent's got a fast list, you're having to defeat bottom one.
Yeah.
That's really quite sad.
Yeah, especially because you've only got your pig that can really threaten that far. So, if they run up and you come up and feet, you've still got to respect, depending if you come up too far, they can still be in like walk and shoot range. And his army's not that. Yeah. It doesn't have that much defensive tech outside of the feet. It's got admonition, which is, of course, really big for melee. But a lot of the models can get shot off the boards. Yeah, pretty easy. Wrong eye snapshot is obviously tricky, but
submerge. Mm. He's got Veil of Mists, and the two spitters have got carapace. So
I'm spoiled as a tubby player. It's like, Isle of Sight. Mm. Don't care about that. Feet, blood mark. It's all dead.
Yeah, but the most normal factions have to worry about that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, like, it's weirdly quite a rough game for Haley 3. I find it's one of her worser matchups.
Yeah,
is Rask, because it can always shoot you. It doesn't care if you're immune to blast because it just puts down corrosion templates.
Mm.
Corrosion. It doesn't care about line of sight because it's got guidance and the veil as well, so you can charge the buildings.
Yeah,
it can. It's got primal in there, so it can get. It's got a decent map buff. Every attack is boostable. So if you can get Brine into Haley, well, it's game over. But Brine into anything in the list with primal and boosts will kill anything in the Haley list. Because it's all pretty squishy anyway. It doesn't need to boost damage. He can just boost the hits. As long as he connects, whatever he hits is going to die. He one-shots Trencher Busters.
Yeah, which is quite sad.
He's
a monster. You can't stop him getting there. And also in the theme, he's got Overtake. And so you can just wander
around. So when you think you can't get there, he gets there.
Hades also clumped up. It's actually, you can potentially give him a bit of a daisy chain over to Manny. And then he'll just eat her.
Yeah, literally, he'll just, as long as he's got two Fury left to boost an attack, she's probably going to die.
Yep.
So you have to plan for everything. But at the same time, you have to extra plan for, I think, the three big dogs I've mentioned.
Cool. So you're saying three big dogs we're going to put down, so we can hold you to this, Jake, later in the year after you've won. You can say, well, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, told you. So we're anticipating first prediction down from the England teams. It's going to be Cricks. You still need Cricks answers. It's going to be Hayley 3.
Cricks is going to be everyone.
You need a Hayley 3 answer. Yep. Hayley 3 is going to be every team. And you're saying Scorn as well as your third big dog?
I won't say Scorn. I'll say Turtles.
And the sub-faction. Okay.
Yeah, you need a turtle answer. Because if you can answer like Scorn, Beast, Bricks, I don't care about that. You need a turtle answer, I think.
Yeah, turtles.
They're just good. They're just so good. And if you don't respect them, they'll take off your colossal. And there's nothing you can really do about it. And they've got Isle of Sight. Yeah, they're good. So good. Three, I think. I think the things that you have to give extra consideration. You have to consider everything. Because even if you go K-Dot, what if some joker brings Karchev and 10 Marauders? What do you know about that? Like, you have to consider every rotation. I think it goes to Cricks and Turtles.
Cricks and Turtles, you heard it here first. So there we go. Well, thank you very much for jumping on to talk about that.
Cricks,
yeah. Say what? A Cricks Turtle?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think, over the year. I mean, we didn't talk about Crucible Guard, but I think at the minute they're looking like they'll get nerfed in some shape or form, because at the minute the trains are just ridiculous. So not really sure how they're going to shake out.
The trains are ridiculous. The infantry's crap.
The infantry's crap. So you're not too worried about Crucible
Guard? Yeah, I'm worried to see what happens in the next week's CID cycle. But obviously it all could change from CID to release. We don't know. Again, it's more what we had at Grimkin last year. It's more fear of the unknown,
yeah,
I'd say. And if someone does bring, what's she called? McKay, is it? Is that the battle engine caster?
Yeah, she's the...
If you bring her with two trains, it's going to be good. No matter what it is, it's going to be good. So I think we need to, from my point of view, we need to look at them and make sure we know what we're doing. Not have answers, just have reps into them.
Yeah.
Because like last year, I went to WTT last year without any Grimkin test or answers, but I went with 50 games played against them. So,
yeah.
I don't know what that says, but, and I had Hayley 2 as well. So.
yeah, still good to Grimkin. I guess it's one of those examples of, even if you don't have tech, if you've got, there's a point where if you've got the better matchup knowledge and you play into matchup and you know how it works, you're still going to be better shape even if you don't have the silver bullets. You're just going to be able to play out of it.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the knowledge, matchup knowledge, one of the things that actually I think scares a good player the most is a other average to good player, but like a really good local player who plays jank, because sometimes that player will be almost WTC level, but they were not really known about, and he'll play something janky, but he's played that caster, that list 100 times, yeah, and you've never played against them. So someone who's been playing, let's say Cray, so if we say been playing Cray for 2 years solid, like they're gonna know more about that matchup than you are. Things like, and again, from a WTC point of view, someone playing the King of Nothing, he's not had a lot of play, he's been seen around here and there, but he's pretty good, and the people who have been playing him have been, to use a better word, at maining him, just throwing him into everything. So I think that's, again, another thing you need to consider. It's a minefield. It's an absolute minefield, but it's a good one at the same time.
Cool. Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. We've covered a bit about the team, and thank you for sharing with us your thoughts so far. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. It's a lot to go, and we've still got 2018 CID to drop. I'm sure PP will have a couple of curveballs between now and then as well.
Oh, of course.
I think change is the name of the game. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what goes on. I'm sure we'll have you on again to talk about whatever comes down the line. So thanks for joining us today. Massive, yeah, best of luck from everyone here. I say here, it's just me here tonight, but from the whole of England, everyone's behind you. So yeah, really looking forward to seeing what you guys do.
Yeah, I'm really, really stoked about it. And I'm going in with a we're going to win attitude.
Fantastic.
So hopefully Poland will be England's year.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Feeling it. It's going to happen.
It's going to be good.
Sound well. Thanks again. No doubt have you on. And until next time. Cheers, guys.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.